The final day of the Supreme Court term often features blockbuster rulings, and Tuesday was no exception. The High Court rejected President Donald Trump's effort to overturn birthright citizenship, the constitutional guarantee that nearly all children born on U.S. soil are citizens. And it ruled that states are allowed to ban transgender athletes from girls' school sports. In today's Daily, our reporters examine the decisions. President Trump didn't get everything he wanted, but during the term, he won some important victories. It's Wednesday, July 1st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down federal limits on political party election spending. The ruling about the amount of campaign money political parties can spend on coordination with candidates overturns a previous precedent set by the court in 2001. The decision was 6-3, with Justice Brett Kavanaugh writing the majority opinion and Justice Elena Kagan leading the dissent. Justice Kavanaugh argued the Federal Election Campaign Act's limits on coordinated spending violate the First Amendment, and that the government already has tools to prevent donors from using parties to circumvent campaign finance limits. Demonstrators marched against illegal immigration in cities across South Africa. The marches coincided with the June 30th deadline set by protesters for all undocumented migrants in the country to self-deport. Several thousand have already done so in recent weeks, many on flights and buses chartered by their own governments. Others are still sleeping in front of their consulates or in makeshift camps as they await processing to leave. Protesters claim that unfettered immigration has led to high unemployment and poor service delivery. Meanwhile, businesses shuttered and the police spent $36 million to stave off violence and looting during the protests, which drew smaller than expected crowds. Also, the Department of Justice challenged state tuition for unauthorized migrants. The U.S. Department of Justice announced that it has filed a complaint against Massachusetts and Rhode Island for giving unauthorized migrants reduced tuition rates for state schools and access to scholarships. The department's civil division suggested that those same benefits are not afforded to all United States citizens and therefore are discriminatory. So far, the DOJ has taken similar actions against other states, including Texas, Kentucky, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected President Donald Trump's order ending birthright citizenship as unconstitutional. The audacious order was linked to the president's wider effort to curtail illegal and legal immigration. Sarah Matusik and Henry Gass report for The Monitor. The Supreme Court's ruling in a West Virginia case doesn't mandate that all states adopt similar restrictions on transgender athletes, but it aligns with public concerns about fair competition and the protection of girls from potential injury. Simon Montlake and Sophie Hills report for The Monitor. In the aftermath of two large earthquakes in Venezuela, a society that had years of practice depending on neighbors instead of the state has jumped into action. Contributor Tibisay Zea reports from Caracas, Venezuela for The Monitor. Ukraine has been taking the fight to Russia in recent months with waves of drone attacks on strategic sites across the country, particularly energy production facilities. The Russian public has definitely noticed, but isn't responding as Kyiv might hope. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. This World Cup could provide the best opportunity for the U.S. men's national soccer team to overcome its mediocre record in tournaments past and make a deep run, and perhaps even show that this squad really is deserving of being called a golden generation. Mark Sappenfield reports for the Monitor. When a student at dog school gives a cue and a dog responds, it fosters a feeling of accomplishment. I did that. Children who once feared or mistreated animals begin to show care and leadership. Contributor Patricia Huon reports from Mpopomini, South Africa, for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on defining presidential powers in a robust democracy. Among the slew of decisions being released in the days before the United States Supreme Court adjourns for the summer, two focus on the key issue of presidential or executive power. Each ruling relates specifically to a U.S. president's ability to remove officeholders and agencies established under acts of Congress. In Trump v. Slaughter, the court ruled 6-3 that the president can fire at will the heads or staff of independent regulatory agencies, in this case, the Federal Trade Commission. In Trump v. Cook, however, the court determined 5-4 that the president could not fire a governor of the Federal Reserve Board without cause or due process. On the surface, the two rulings seem to be in opposition to each other. Yet both underscore a defining characteristic of American democracy, the delicate yet shifting equilibrium among the executive, legislative, and judicial branches that underpins the business of governing. Such balancing acts play out regularly in Washington, in state capitals, and, with less fanfare perhaps, at county and city levels, as well as within local school boards and civic organizations. The Federal Trade Commission ruling affirmed president's authority to appoint and alter executive teams so they include members who support their policy priorities, much the same way private sector CEOs form their management teams. The ruling aligns with what's known as unitary executive theory, a concept gaining ground among jurists and policymakers since the 1980s. In this view, the U.S. Constitution gives the president complete power over the executive branch, including domestic and foreign policy, and the ability to unilaterally remove government officials, as a recent Monitor article explained. But when it comes to the Fed, the court indicated this agency holds a distinct place in the regulatory pantheon. The decision acknowledges the Fed's unique and outsized role in studying not just the U.S. economy, but also global markets. The procedural ruling was that the president could not block Fed Governor Lisa Cook from continuing to serve while she pursues a legal case against her August 2025 ouster. No Fed governors have been fired in its 111-year existence. The majority's written opinion went beyond the specific ruling to refer to our nation's tradition of central banking protected from political interference, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote, referring to this as a special arrangement sanctioned by history. The founders, he noted, knew from experience the calamities that could arise from even the suspicion of political manipulation of monetary policy. Scott Alvarez, former general counsel for the Fed, told the New York Times that this ruling helped to reinforce the court as a guardrail for Fed independence. But, as he and other analysts pointed out, it does not entirely insulate the central bank from further executive actions under the current or future presidents. That might be left to another day, if and when Congress steps in to adjust legislation. At that time, what may once again appear to be an antagonistic push and pull among elected representatives, appointed officials, and legislating bodies will be better viewed as the robust give and take that reflects politics and democracy at work. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, to the degree that we understand man's spiritual nature, we help lift ourselves and others out of infectious disease and the fear of it. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Livy Fletcher, Mackenzie Farkas, Tim Malone, and Alyssa Britton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.